Live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, this is Bloomberg Daybreak for Thursday, January 27th, 2022. Coming up this hour,
markets react after the Fed takes a hawkish tone.
Bets on rate hikes climb, with traders now predicting 5 increases.
Earnings also hit sentiment as outlooks from Intel and Tesla disappoint.
And Chuck Schumer promises quick action to fill Justice Stephen Breyer's spot on the Supreme Court.
A winter storm bears down on the city, and President Biden will visit New York to focus on gun violence. I'm John Tucker. Those stories straight ahead.
I'm John Stashower in sports. The Heat beat the Knicks, the Nuggets beat the Nets, and they're playing the women's semifinals at the Australian Open.
That's all straight ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak on Bloomberg 1130 New York, Bloomberg 99.1 Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 1061 Boston, Bloomberg 960 San Francisco, Sirius XM 119, and around the world on BloombergRadio.com and via the Bloomberg Business app.
Good morning, I'm Nathan Hager.
And I'm Karen Moscow. In U.S. futures, we're looking to stage a comeback, but they're lower once again. It is currently 6:01 on Wall Street. I mean, check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. Right now, S&P futures are down 12 points, Dow futures down 88. NASDAQ futures down 48. The DAX in Germany is down 0.7%. 10-year Treasury up 0.3 seconds, yield 1.83%. The yield on the 2-year, 1.19%. NYMEX crude oil is little change at $87.34 a barrel. And Bitcoin this morning at $36,350. Nathan.
Now, Karen, stocks did sell off overnight after yesterday's hawkish tilt from the Fed. We had seen some evidence of dip buying this morning, but as you mentioned, U.S. futures are back in the red. Jay Powell is signaling a March interest rate hike, but stoking speculation as well about more aggressive policy in the months ahead.
I think there's quite a bit of room to raise interest rates without threatening the labor market. This is, by so many measures, a historically tight labor market.
The yield curve flattened on the heels of those comments from Jay Powell. This morning, 2-year yields are rising while tens and thirties fall. Former Fed Vice Chair Alan Blinder expects a rate hike at every meeting going forward.
Think about where we are now. We're almost at a zero rate. A 4-rate hike puts you just above 1%. That's hardly a central bank that's trying to clamp down on its economy.
Former Vice Chair Alan Blinder says the Fed will continue to be data dependent. And this morning, money markets are pricing 5 rate hikes from the Fed this year.
And U.S. stocks sank after the Fed decision, Nathan, and that trend continued overnight with heavy selling in Asia. We get the recap from Bloomberg's Juliet Sally in Singapore. Good morning, Juliet.
Good morning, Karen. The MSCI Asia Pacific Index posted its biggest drop since February to hold at 14-month lows as a number of indexes in the region teetered on or entered bear market and correction territory. China's CSI 300 fell 20% from its February peak to enter a bear market. South Korea's KOSPI also entering a bear market. Australia's ASX 200 was down 10% from its August peak to enter correction. In Singapore, Juliet Sali, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Juliet, thank you. So how much further is the Federal Reserve willing to let stocks slide? We have a prediction from the world's biggest hedge fund, and Bloomberg's Renita Young joins us live with the details. Good morning, Renita.
Good morning, Nathan. It's the burning question of the moment for market watchers. And Bridgewater Associates co-chief investment officer Greg Jensen says the Fed could let stocks drop as much as 20% more. That would put the S&P 500 below 3,500, near its pre-pandemic level. Jensen says so far the decline over the past few weeks has been mostly healthy because it's deflated some of the bubbles like cryptocurrencies. Live in New York, I'm Renita Young, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Renita, thank you. Well, stocks are also under pressure this morning from earnings, including disappointing results from Intel. The chipmaker is out with a weak profit forecast for the current quarter, and we get the story from Bloomberg's Charlie Pellett.
The report is fueling concern that the cost of CEO Pat Gelsinger's turnaround plan will weigh heavily on the chipmaker's financial performance. Though demand for server chips is helping bolster sales, the forecast adds evidence that profit is suffering from an Intel spending spree. Gelsinger, who took the helm last year, has embarked on an ambitious plan to overhaul Intel's manufacturing. That includes a new factory hub in Ohio announced last week that could cost $20 billion. In New York, Charlie Pellett, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Charlie, thank you. Shares of Tesla are also dropping this morning. They're down 1.3% after the company posted profit above estimates but warned supply chain problems will persist. Ed Ludlow has details from our Bloomberg 960 newsroom in San Francisco.
Executives said that production volumes at the plant in Fremont, California and in Shanghai have been depressed for several quarters due to the ongoing supply chain crunch. That includes, of course, a shortage of semiconductors. And that meant one big thing. This year, 2022, Tesla will not be launching any new products. That means no Cybertruck, no semi-truck. And the logic that Elon Musk put behind that was that if they don't have the parts to build or ramp up production of their existing products, then they shouldn't move quickly onto new products going forward. Ed Ludlow, Bloomberg News, San Francisco.
And thank you. The tech earnings continue to roll in today. Up next, Apple reports this afternoon, and we get a preview from Bloomberg's Tom Busby.
Well, the big question for Apple's first quarter results, how big were holiday sales of its new iPhone 13s, as well as the iPad mini, the MacBook Pro, the Apple Watch Series 7, and its updated AirPod earphones? Also, whether that global computer chip crunch and supply chain bottlenecks impacted sales and production. Bloomberg economists forecast revenue during the all-important holiday quarter topped $119 billion, more than half of that from sales of iPhones, on non-adjusted earnings of $1.90 a share. Tom Busby, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Thanks, Tom. Earnings in Europe are also in focus. Shares of Deutsche Bank are up almost 5.5%. Germany's largest lender says it will, quote, significantly exceed its revenue guidance for the coming year. Deutsche Bank saw gains in debt trading and its merger advisory business in the fourth quarter.
And turning to politics now, Nathan, President Biden looks poised to make a mark on the Supreme Court. We're told Justice Stephen Breyer plans to retire at the end of this term. Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer is leading tributes to the High Court's most senior liberal.
He was a model jurist. He had huge impact on people's lives in terms of voting rights, women's rights and reproductive rights, in terms of the environment, and maybe most of all on the ACA, the Affordable Care Act, making sure it stayed.
Senator Schumer is promising a quick timetable to confirm Breyer's successor. President Biden has promised to name a black woman to the high court.
And right now, S&P futures are down 6 points. Dow futures down 54. NASDAQ futures are lower by 18 points. The 10-year Treasury is up 9/32. The yield 1.83%. Yield on the 2-year 1.19. Local news and a check of sports next. This is Bloomberg. At 6:07 on Wall Street, we're at 18 degrees in Central Park, still dealing with big delays on the northbound Connecticut Turnpike with two tractor trailers involved in an accident. John Tucker's here with more on what's going on in New York and around the world. John.
And Nathan, we're watching a powerful snowstorm that's sent to sweep up the East Coast starting tomorrow. And Bloomberg meteorologist Rob Carolyn joins us with the very latest. Good morning, Rob.
John, the computer model's still not in agreement on the storm coming up for Saturday. The U.S. model takes it out to sea, while most of the international models have a fairly significant storm for the tri-state area. I think that's why the National Weather Service has put a winter storm watch up for Friday evening through Saturday evening for the coast, including the city in Long Island and Westchester County, New York. Looks like snow will arrive by mid to late afternoon tomorrow in the tri-state area. Should be done by Saturday evening. Right now, 2 to 6 inches looks likely. John?
Bloomberg meteorologist Rob Carolyn, thanks. Check your flight this morning, and it's not because of the weather. United says it's experiencing an IT outage, and teams are working to get it resolved. President Biden will promote his administration's efforts to fight gun crime in New York next week with Mayor Eric Adams, who's confronting a spate of violence, including the shooting deaths of two police officers. The president will try to highlight increased federal funding for state and city law enforcement. A flurry of meetings regarding Russia and Ukraine appear to have made a bit of progress. The story from Bloomberg's Ed Baxter.
NATO Secretary General Jens Stoltenberg is urging a direct meeting with Russia.
We are prepared to listen to Russia's concerns. Real conversation on how to uphold and strengthen the fundamental principles of European security that we have all signed up to.
As well, in Paris, direct meetings with high-level diplomats from Ukraine and Russia, both saying marginal improvement, have set up another meeting in 2 weeks in Berlin. And the U.S. has delivered a letter to Russia with proposals to end the standoff. In San Francisco, I'm Ed Baxter, Bloomberg Daybreak.
New York's MTA looking at ways to prevent people from falling or jumping out of subway tracks. A task force plans to explore sensors and platform doors. A homeless person this month killed a woman by pushing her onto the tracks in front of an oncoming train at the Times Square station. And Amazon.com was unable to escape a lawsuit filed by a convicted murderer in New York who claims the company's refusal to hire him as a delivery driver was discrimination. A judge has ruled that Henry Franklin's crime had no bearing on whether he could deliver groceries. Global News 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm John Tucker. This is Bloomberg. Nathan.
All right, John, thanks. Coming up to 6:10 on Wall Street, time for the Bloomberg Sports Update. Here's John Stashower.
All right, Nathan. Knicks unable to beat the Heat in Miami, trailed by 14 in the first quarter, by 28 in the third. The final a little more respectable, but Miami, who leads the East, won it 110-96. The Heat had four players score 20 or more. Duncan Robinson had 25. He made seven three-pointers. The Knicks' leading scorer was Obi Toppin with 18. Another loss for the Nets in Brooklyn, where they are just 12-13. They were without the entire Big Three as James Harden sat out with a minor hamstring injury, and Denver scored 42 points in the third quarter. The Nuggets won 124-118. Rangers skate tonight in Columbus, then come home tomorrow for Henrik Lundqvist night. Seton Hall lost at home to Marquette, 73-63. The Pirates just 3-6 in the Big East. Ash Barty continues to steamroll at the Australian Open, 6-1, 6-3 in the semifinals over American Madison Keys. Barty has won all 12 sets, has only lost 21 games. American Danielle Collins playing now. She's won the first set of her semifinal match. Introductory news conference at MetLife Stadium for new Giants general manager Joe Shane and owner John Mara. When asked about quarterback Daniel Jones, said, "We've done everything possible to screw this kid up." Shane seems happy with the incumbent QB.
"I know he's a great kid. He's been in this building the last 2 days. I've talked to him. There's not anybody in this building that said a bad word about his work ethic, passion, you know, desire to win. And I think you got to have those traits as a quarterback. And the kid has physical ability. You know, he's got arm strength. He's athletic. He can run. So I'm really excited to work with Daniel."
A lot of other key decisions, including hiring a new coach. Shane will interview former Miami Dolphins head coach Brian Flores today. John Stashower, Bloomberg Sports. Nathan?
All right, John, thanks. S&P futures down 5 points. Dow futures down 52. NASDAQ futures lower by 8 points. Tesla shares down 1.3%. Dan Ives of Wedbush joins us next. Bloomberg 11:30 weather, high near 30 today with a winter storm watch kicking in tomorrow night, lasting into Saturday night. 2 to 6 inches of snow possible from a nor'easter. Tomorrow's highs in the mid-30s, low 20s for Saturday.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at Bloomberg Quick Take. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow, and U.S. stock index futures have been jumping around a bit this morning following a sell-off sparked by a hawkish Federal Reserve. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. And right now, S&P futures are little changed. Dow futures are as well as NASDAQ futures. The DAX in Germany is down 0.5%. The 10-year Treasury up 8/32, yield 1.83%. And the yield on the 2-year, 1.19%. NYMEX crude oil is little changed at $87.42 a barrel. COMEX gold down 1.1%, down $20.40 at $18.11.60 an ounce. The euro, 1.1189 against the dollar. British pound, 1.3402. And the yen is at 115.20. Bitcoin this morning at $36,460. Today we are watching for the weekly report on initial jobless claims out at 8:30 Wall Street time, along with durable goods orders and pending home sales are out at 10. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's John Tucker with more on what's going on around the world. John.
And Senate Democrats, Karen, plan to move swiftly to replace retiring Supreme Court Justice Stephen Breyer. Dozens of United flights delayed this morning after the airline reported a company-wide technology outage. South Korea's military says North Korea fired two suspended ballistic missiles into the sea in a sixth round of weapons launches this month. Sports, the Knicks and Nets both lose. And on the ice, the Capitals lose. The Bruins fall to Colorado in overtime. At the Australian Open women's semifinals, Ashleigh Barty defeats American Madison Keys in straight sets. Global News 24 hours a day on air Warren on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by it. More than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm John Tucker, and this is Bloomberg. Nathan.
John, thank you. 6:19 on Wall Street, live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios. This is Bloomberg Daybreak as we watch sort of the market shifting this morning. We're continuing to keep our eyes on shares of Tesla after the electric car maker reported earnings that came in at a record, actually, but the shares this morning are lower by a little more than 1% with supply chain issues keeping the brakes on new models for Elon Musk and company. Joining us now, someone who has been very bullish on Tesla and the tech sector more broadly, Dan Ives, Senior Equity Research Analyst and Managing Director at Wedbush Securities. Dan, good morning. Seems like the supply chain, the outlook is what's got investors' attention this morning. Is it shaking your thesis at all on Tesla going forward?
Yeah, I mean, look, not at all. I mean, right now, they have a supply problem, not a demand problem. Demand's outstripping supply by about 30%. And I think the big story from last night is Austin, which is the main factory now in the U.S. That's actually open and starting to produce cars along with the 4680 battery, which is probably the most innovative battery technology out there. You put it all together, this is a knee-jerk reaction, risk-off market. I think ultimately investors digest this as bullish.
What about the fact that Elon Musk came out in the call last night, something he hadn't done the last time Tesla reported earnings, and pretty much confirmed that a lot of these delayed models like Cybertruck and some of the other models coming down the pike are going to have to be delayed even longer?
Look, the supply chain is an unprecedented issue that we're seeing for automakers around the world. For Tesla, they got to focus right now on ramping Model Y production and Model 3. Because you're talking about 5, 6, 7 month waits for those cars. The last thing you want to see them do is now try to juggle another ball and bring Cybertruck into it. And it's a smart move. You push it to 2023, and right now, demand significantly outstripping supply. They got to focus on ramping Giga Austin, Berlin in Europe. And ultimately, if you look at EVs right now, I mean, the underlying story for Tesla is bullish as they continue to extend that lead on EVs.
Does it become more difficult to ramp up production in Austin and Berlin, though, when Tesla and a lot of other automakers more broadly are dealing with these supply chain issues?
No doubt. I mean, Tesla is, let's say, gone from about 50% growth in terms of deliveries this coming year, 1.4, 1.5 million. If not for the chip shortage, that's probably closer to 1.7, 1.8 million. So it's really taking off a chunk, 10, 12% of automobiles that can't be made because of the chip shortage. But again, this is something where the street understands this. It's a reality. And if you look at the ultimate demand story and what's happened on the battery technology, which is super important, that's a big part of the competitive moat. That's what investors are going to glean out of this call. And even though it's a risk-off market, look at a lot of these knee-jerk reactions. Microsoft aftermarket down 5%, up 4% once the day started. So I think you're going to see that in this jittery tape.
Yeah, I got to wonder whether we're going to see more jitters when Apple reports its earnings after the bell later this afternoon. Supply chain issues are in focus for them as well, Dan.
It's going to be a similar narrative as Tesla. Demand outstripping supply. We just can't make enough iPhones. Because coming out of China and the Asia supply chain. And I think this is just a reality investors are going to grapple with across chips, across the tech sector. But I do believe that it's something that's already started to get baked into these stocks of what I believe are oversold names, specifically names like Tesla and Apple. And I think you look at fundamentals this week in the vacuum of Fed news. It's been bullish for tech. 90% of companies have hit and beat. And I think that's important going forward.
So when it comes to Apple, then, in our last minute here, Dan, we're coming out of the holiday sales period as well in this reporting cycle that Apple's coming into. What's your expectation on what Apple's going to come out with?
Strongest product cycle in a decade in Cupertino. I think you look at iPhone units, we think they sold 40 million during the holiday season alone. That would be the strongest holiday ever for Apple, even though they have a chip shortage that took out about 10 million units. Services is the key. That's the re-rating. That's worth, you know, we 1.5 trillion. And Apple, it's a safety blanket name in the market storm. And I think this is one that's going to ultimately be another positive data point for tech in this sort of backdrop of a Fed rising rate environment where investors are seeing a risk off.
Interesting. Always good to get your thoughts, Dan, on tech. Thanks so much. Dan Ives is senior equity research analyst, managing director at Wedbush Securities. Looking ahead to those Apple earnings after the closing bell today, the shares this morning are moving a touch higher. They're up about 0.3%. As for Tesla, still lower in the pre-market after the forecast for no further products, or at least no new ones in this current year. Tesla shares right now down almost 1.5%. As for the broader market, kind of shaky. S&P futures down 3 points now. Dow futures down 46. NASDAQ futures, little changed. 10-year Treasury, 1.83% yield. This is Bloomberg. Bloomberg 11:30 weather, high near 30 today. Winter storm watch tomorrow night into Saturday. 2 to 6 inches possible from the nor'easter. Mid-30s tomorrow, low 20s for Saturday. 18 degrees currently.
Broadcasting live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studio in New York. Bloomberg 1130. To Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 991. To Boston, Bloomberg 1061. To San Francisco, Bloomberg 960. To the country, Sirius XM Channel 119. And around the globe, the Bloomberg Business App and BloombergRadio.com. This is Bloomberg Daybreak.
Six 30 on Wall Street. Good morning. I'm Nathan Hager.
And I'm Karen Moscow. We're just about 3 hours away from the open of U.S. trading. Time for the five things you need to know to start your day, brought to you by Interactive Brokers Global Analyst. Global Analyst helps you find new global investment opportunities to diversify your portfolio and discover undervalued companies. Try Global Analyst today at ibkr.com/GA. Up first, stocks are mixed around the world this morning. That's after the Federal Reserve's hawkish tone on interest rates. At one point, NASDAQ futures were down more than 2%, but they're now higher, but they've been jumping around. They are higher by about 0.2% right now. Jeff Rosenberg of BlackRock says the Fed has a tough job ahead.
How difficult it is for the Fed to navigate to that soft landing that's implicit in those SEP forecasts. And that really raises the risks here, I think, for financial markets.
And BlackRock's Jeff Rosenberg says the market had anticipated a more dovish message from the Fed.
And now the question, Karen, is just how many times the Fed raises rates. Let's get the latest live with Bloomberg's Renita Young. Good morning, Renita.
Good morning, Nathan. Traders are ramping up bets to see 5 Fed rate hikes this year. That would bring the central bank's target rate to around 1.5%. The wagers are rippling through markets with short-dated bonds and equities slumping. Money markets are pricing 30 basis points of Fed tightening in March. That means some see a chance for a 50-point hike. And it all comes as Fed Chair Jay Powell strikes a hawkish tone and signals the first rate increase in March. Live in New York, I'm Renita Young, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Renita, thank you. Corporate earnings are also weighing on stocks. Shares of Intel down more than 2.5% after the chipmaker gave a disappointing profit forecast.
And Tesla shares are down more than 1%, Karen. The company set a record for profit, but warned supply chain problems will keep it from introducing new vehicle models this year.
Outside of the markets, Nathan, politics front and center. President Biden is poised to make a mark in the Supreme Court after word that Justice Stephen Breyer plans to retire at the end of this term. The president has promised to name a black woman to replace Breyer, and Bloomberg's Josh Wingrove reports that would fulfill a campaign promise.
Biden has faced pressure from the base, in particular voters of color, for not doing enough on core issues, things like voting rights, things like police reform. And if he had the opportunity now to make a very high-profile nomination, in particular if it is indeed a black woman, there could be political dividends for the Democrats.
Bloomberg's Josh Wingrove says Justice Breyer is expected to announce his retirement at the White House today. And that's the five things you need to know to start your day, brought to you by Interactive Brokers. And straight ahead, your latest local headlines, plus a check of sports. And this is Bloomberg.
Thanks, Karen. 6:33 on Wall Street, 18 degrees in Central Park. We got an accident on the inbound GWB lower level. Details coming up in traffic first. John Tucker with more on what's going on in New York and around the world. John, good morning.
Nathan, President Biden will visit New York next week. to focus on gun crime. Let's get more on this report from Bloomberg's Lisa Mateo.
Biden will highlight efforts including increased federal funding for state and city law enforcement agencies. The money is intended to fund beat officers and community violence prevention programs. The administration is also stepping up federal efforts to stop gun trafficking. The president will join Mayor Eric Adams, who is confronting a spat of violence. Since he took office on January 1st, five officers have been shot, including two who died after responding to a domestic disturbance call. In New York, I'm Lisa Mateo, Bloomberg Daybreak.
A winter storm watch is in effect starting tomorrow night for a system that may blanket parts of the city in snow. And Bloomberg meteorologist Rob Carolyn is tracking the storm this morning. Good morning, Rob.
John, we still have some pretty serious disagreement between the major models on this storm. U.S. model tries to take it out to sea and really gives no snow to the tri-state area. European model says no, it's a major storm. So we're going to kind of ride in the middle right now for forecast totals. We are under a winter storm watch along the coast and over the island and into Westchester County for Friday night and into Saturday. Snow should develop tomorrow afternoon and continue into Saturday. The question is how much? Right now we're thinking about 2 to 6 inches with the highest amounts on the island. John?
All right. Bloomberg meteorologist Rob Carolyn. New Yorkers could boost weekly benefits for laid-off workers and delay unemployment tax hikes for employers under a bill that passed the state Senate. New York's 6.2% unemployment rate in December was more than 2 points higher than the national rate. Prince Andrew is casting blame back at Virginia Giuffre over sexual abuse lawsuit she filed, saying her claims were barred by her own wrongful conduct. In response to the suit, Andrew suggested she was at least partly responsible for her own alleged injuries. Giuffre says when she was a teenager, Jeffrey Epstein lent her to Andrew for abuse. The British Defense Secretary says the UK could support NATO countries by increasing its forces to act as a deterrent to any further Russian aggression. This comes a day after the U.S. and NATO delivered written responses to Russia, broadly rejecting Moscow's demands that the Western alliance redraw its borders. She became part of an evening ritual for millions of lottery players. Yolanda Vega, the face of the New York Lottery on-air drawings for 3 decades, is calling it quits. Drawing out the syllables with an exaggerated flair became Vega's trademark and helped establish her as a New York institution. Global news 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm John Tucker. This is Bloomberg. Nathan.
Thank you, John. .636 on Wall Street. John Stashar with the Bloomberg Sports Update.
Thanks, David. This figured to be a tough week for the Knicks. They lost by 2 at Cleveland, but never in it in Miami. The Heat led by 28 in the third quarter. The final was 110-96. East leading Miami has now won 8 of the last 10. The Knicks are floundering. They finished 4th in the East last season. Right now they are 11th. They play tomorrow in Milwaukee. The Nets played without the big three. No James Harden due to a hamstring injury. And Denver won in Brooklyn 124-118. Nikola Jokic 26 points, a near triple-double. Austin Rivers had 25, all but 3 in the second half. Seton Hall lost to Marquette 73-63. No native Aussie has won the women's singles in Melbourne since 1978. Ashley Barty seems on her way. The top seed has crushed 6 straight opponents, this time Madison Keys in the semifinals, 6-1, 6-3. Barty will play another American in the final as Danielle Collins just beat Iga Swiatek 6-4, 6-1. If Barty wins Saturday, she'll have won 3 of the 4 Grand Slams. The men's semis have Rafael Nadal playing Matteo Berrettini. Daniil Medvedev goes against Stefano Tsitsipas. Joe Shane just hired as the new general manager of the Giants. A lot of work to do. Since 2017, the Giants tied for the worst record in the NFL.
I think you can truly build a roster where you can compete today and build for tomorrow. So we're going to, through the drafts, free agency, whatever avenue we can, we're going to continue to build a competitive roster, and we want to see progress. And we're going to continue to build with a long term in mind, you know, as we build it. But I think you can compete today and still build for tomorrow.
Shane needs to hire a new coach. The favorite said to be Bills offensive coordinator Brian Daboll. He worked with Shane in Buffalo. John Stashower, Bloomberg Sports. Nathan?
All right, John, thanks. Almost 6:38 on Wall Street. Let's take a look at stocks and some of the names moving in the pre-market with Bloomberg Radio and TV Markets correspondent Kriti Gupta. It's not just about the Fed, Kriti. It's about tech earnings.
Yeah, they are coming in hot and heavy. We know, of course, Apple's reporting after the bell. But really, right now, this morning, what's taking the cake is Tesla and Intel. Let's start off with Tesla here. TSLA is your ticker, down 1.1% in the pre-market. This coming after they set a record for profit, but warned that those supply chain problems will keep it from introducing new vehicle models this year while it focuses on expanding production of its current lineup. That's going to be a theme you're going to hear across earnings altogether. That's a similar theme you're hearing in Intel earnings as well. INTC is your ticker, down just shy of 3%. After they gave a disappointing forecast for profit in the current quarter, they're saying demand for server chips, it's helping bolster sales, but the forecast also adds evidence that profit is suffering from an Intel spending spree. We know that the CEO, Pat Gelsinger, is trying to kind of execute this big turnaround plan for Intel, but right now, the costs seem to be outweighing the benefits, Nathan.
And we've got some tech M&A news as well.
I mean, the chip space is just very, very hot this morning, Nathan.
Yeah.
Yes, M&A for sure. Let's just start with the AMD and Xilinx deal. This was, of course, announced a couple years ago, but AMD looking to buy Xilinx in a $35 billion deal. The news this morning is that they've gotten that final leg of approval from Chinese regulators that have granted the deal, clearing the way for one of the largest deals to emerge from the global semiconductor industry. And remember, the acquisition had already won the blessing of regulators in the U.S., Europe, and the U.K., among other jurisdictions. AMD is your ticker, down 2% in the pre-market. Classic merger arbitrage move this morning. XLNX is your ticker for Xilinx, up just shy of 5%. I'm going to throw one last semis company at you, Nathan. That's going to be Lam Research. This, of course, is the semi equipment maker. We've been talking about this kind of a boom for semis broadly. Well, the chip equipment makers are even more volatile than those semiconductor companies. They're just far more exposed to that boom and bust cycle. Well, Lam Research expecting revenue in its fiscal third quarter to reach about $4.3 billion. But once again, saying supply chain conditions had worsened in late December and it ultimately hit the company's performance. LRCX is your ticker, down 3%, Nathan.
Yeah, there's that supply chain word again. Bloomberg Radio and TV Markets correspondent Kriti Gupta, like you say, supply chains will be a theme throughout this earnings season. Thanks as always as we take a look at stocks as a whole. Ahead of the Thursday morning open, mixed action now with S&P futures down a point, Dow futures down 24, NASDAQ futures back in the green, barely up 7 points. The 10-year Treasury up 9/32, the yield 1.82%, yield on the 2-year 1.17. Yield curve flattening continues this morning after the Fed. Stay with us. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. Bloomberg 11:30 weather will get up to near 30 degrees today. Tomorrow night, winter storm watch kicks in. 2 to 6 inches possible by the time it's done. Saturday, mid-30s tomorrow, low 20s for Saturday. Currently, 18 degrees.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at Bloomberg Quick Take. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. And futures this morning have been jumping around a bit. We go to the first word breaking news desk for today's morning call. Here's Bill Maloney. Bill, good morning.
And good morning, Karen. U.S. futures are quiet right now, with Dow futures down 36 points, S&P's dropped 3, and NASDAQ futures are lower by a point. The U.S. 10-year yield at 1.83%. Gold is down 11. Oil is trading higher. And Bitcoin is climbing by 3.1%. Japan fell overnight, while European markets are trading mixed this morning. And back in the U.S. on the economic front at 8:30, initial jobs claims and durable goods orders. 10 o'clock, pending home sales. And at 11 o'clock, the Kansas City Fed. After the bell last night, Intel gave a weak forecast and Tesla's profit beat estimates, but it warned of supply chain disruptions. Regarding earnings this morning, look for McDonald's and MasterCard to report in the pre-market. In deal news, Centene is said to have drawn interest from Cigna in recent months. And in other news, Netflix climbed pre-market after Bill Ackman bought more than 3.1 million shares. Wrapping things up, ServiceNow is raised to overweight over at Piper. Live from the First Reagan News Desk, I'm Bill Maloney. Karen?
Bill, thank you. To hear live breaking news over your Bloomberg, type Squawk on your terminal, S-Q-U-A-W-K. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's John Tucker with more on what's going on around the world. John.
And good morning, Karen. Senate Democrats plan to move swiftly to replace retiring Supreme Court Justice Stephen Breyer. The top Democrats making it clear they'll move quickly once President Biden makes his pick. Dozens of United flights delayed after the airline reported a company-wide technology outage this morning. And South Korea's military says North Korea has fired two suspected ballistic missiles into the sea. It's the sixth round of weapons launches this month. Sports, Knicks and Nets both lose. On the ice, the Capitals lose. The Bruins fall to Colorado in overtime. At the Australian Open women's semifinals, Ashley Barty defeats American Madison Keys in straight sets. Global News 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take. Powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm John Tucker. This is Bloomberg.
The following commentary is from Bloomberg Opinion.
Chief, I'm Jonathan Bernstein, a columnist for Bloomberg Opinion. When a president is unpopular, everyone starts identifying every piece of the administration as part of the problem. In the case of Joe Biden, several mostly content-free stories have criticized Vice President Kamala Harris. Next up, White House Chief of Staff Ron Klain. It's not even a little convincing. Klain holds a critical job, but the complaints about him seem trivial or contain evidence where interpretation shifts from good times to bad. Meanwhile, there's little evidence of backstabbing and unfortunate leaks coming out of this White House. Nominations are happening at a decent pace and generating little controversy. The first year was unusually scandal-free, nor, with the withdrawal from Afghanistan as the biggest exception, has implementation of policies been a large problem. That's all to Klain's credit. If the Democrats' policies don't work as advertised or turn out to be unpopular once they're in place, I suspect Klain would step up and take the blame, but for the most part, it's elected officials and the party overall who would deserve it. I'm Jonathan Bernstein. For more opinion, please go to Bloomberg.com/opinion or OPIN Go on the Bloomberg Terminal.
This has been Bloomberg Opinion.
And Bloomberg Opinion commentaries can be heard every weekday at this time, and terminal customers can read more at OPIN Go. It is 6:50 on Wall Street. We turn to news in science and technology now with a Bloomberg NJIT STEM report brought to you by New Jersey Institute of Technology, ranked a top 50 national public university by U.S. News and World Report and a top 10 for best career placement among public schools by the Princeton Review. More at njit.edu. Now here's what's making news in science, technology, engineering, and math. Republicans' faith in science is falling as Democrats rely on it even more, with a trust gap in science and medicine widening substantially during the pandemic. Overall, 48% of Americans say they have a great deal of confidence in the scientific community, according to polling by the General Social Survey. A new warning highlights the growing risk from space junk as companies plan to launch thousands of satellites. Astronomers say that debris from one of Elon Musk's rockets will crash into the moon in March. The Falcon 9 rocket was launched in 2015. And guinea worm infections dropped to just over a dozen worldwide last year, getting closer to fulfilling former President Jimmy Carter's dream of completely eradicating the disease during his lifetime. The Carter Center said the decline is the result of years of public health campaigns to improve access to safe drinking water in Africa. When the Carter Center began leading the global eradication effort in 1986, the parasitic disease infected 3.5 million people. And that's the Bloomberg NJIT STEM report. Nathan.
All right, Karen, thanks. We're live from the Bloomberg Interactive Broker Studios. We're at 6:52 on Wall Street. Time now to check what's going on in D.C., where some of the top stories include President Biden getting his chance to make a mark on the Supreme Court with Justice Breyer retiring, the U.S. holding firm on Russia's demands amid the Ukraine standoff, and immigration back in the spotlight with Vice President Harris on her way to Honduras today. Let's get more on what's happening in the nation's capital. Bloomberg government reporter Emily Wilkins is with us now. Emily, I think the announcement we're expecting later today from Justice Breyer is something that's probably not coming as too big a surprise for political watchers, but it certainly gets Politico's excitement up.
Yeah, this is something that, particularly for progressives in the Democratic Party, they've been pushing for a while. Their concern is that if Republicans should win the White House in 2024, and you might see something like what happened near the end of Trump's term when Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg passed away, and you saw her replaced with a far more conservative individual on the court. And so what sort of happened when Biden got in the White House was they looked at the oldest liberal on the court, Justice Stephen Breyer, and began to push for his retirement so a similar thing would not happen. And so at this point, they're getting their wish, basically. Breyer has said that he will be retiring, and he won't leave until they've picked a new replacement for him. But this gives President Biden a chance to nominate someone to the Supreme Court. at this point, Biden has said that he does want to pick a black justice, a black female justice. That would be a first for the court. There are a couple of names being looked at right now, but the key is trying to find someone who have already been appointed by the Senate to a court and done so with Republican support. So you can go back to Republicans and say, hey, you voted for this person just a little bit ago. You should be able to support them again for the Supreme Court. But of course, Democrats, they don't need any Republicans to support their nominees. They only need 50 of them to be on board. And so once again, that means like people like Joe Manchin and Kyrsten Sinema are really the ones to watch here and how this goes forward.
Yeah, names that aren't familiar to anybody. Yeah, as we go forward here. Let's take a look at the latest now on what's happening with Ukraine. I understand the U.S. has given its written response to the demands that Russia had been looking for.
The U.S. has, but it hasn't been made public, and the White House says they are not planning to make it public. Russia's responded, gave a critical response to those proposals. I mean, some of these things that Putin has put forward out there, it's been very clear that he's not going to get as far as, you know, preventing Ukraine from ever joining NATO or fully rolling troops back to where they were in 1997. But at this point, it's the sort of this big diplomatic channel that is still open between the two countries and what they're trying to accomplish, trying to make sure that they are able to keep discussions open and potentially head off any sort of invasion into Ukraine.
And I'd understand that Vice President Kamala Harris was up really early this morning, making her way down to Honduras. What's the focus there?
So this is not the first time that Vice President Kamala Harris has been to the region. She went there because she was been assigned to be sort of the lead White House person on the issue of immigration. And she's going down today specifically for the inauguration of a new Honduran president. And the hope is that this new president's policies, the new government's policies, might help curb some of the immigration that's heading up to the U.S.'s southern border. And Vice President Harris, she's really been criticized for a lot of the work that she's done on immigration, particularly at the start of the Biden administration when there was a surge in individuals showing up at the southern border. Immigration has long been an issue that's really mobilized a lot of the core Republican base. And so you've seen Republicans use it and often talk about it again and again and again. And Vice President Harris, though, she's now sort of renewing her focus on immigration. Now that the battle that she was leading for voting rights in the Senate is done. And so this trip is kind of just a part of an overall strategy for the Biden administration, not just to deal with immigration by the southern border, but by actually going to the countries these immigrants are departing from and trying to see what they can do to convince these immigrants to just stay in the place that they're from.
Thanks for this, Emily. Good to get the update. Bloomberg government reporter Emily Wilkins with us from the nation's capital. Read more about all these stories on Bloomberg.com or on the Bloomberg terminal. Listen to Bloomberg Radio in Washington at Bloomberg 99.1 and 105.7 FM HD2. As the market resets following yesterday's policy decision from the Fed and the hawkish turn, futures at the moment are a touch higher. We see S&P futures up 5 points right now. Dow futures up 10. NASDAQ futures higher by 47 points. The 10-year treasury is now up 12, 30 seconds. The yield 1.82%. The yield on the 2-year right now 1.17%. Tech earnings remain in focus this week. Join us on Bloomberg Daybreak tomorrow. We'll break down Apple's results when they come in after the closing bell today. Gene Munster, co-founder of Loop Ventures, will be with us. For now, Bloomberg Surveillance is up next. For Karen Moscow, I'm Nathan Hager. This is Bloomberg.